This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You own your master's.
Yeah.
And you were one of the youngest to ever do that at the age of 29. Would you ever, I mean, a lot of artists selling their catalog. Is that something Chris Brown would look to do in the future?
I don't think I would, because I feel like as a black artist, that's what we've been wanting forever.
Was to be able to get that.
Get our master's.
Right.
So for me to be able to do that, like, and be one of the first young cats to do it, like, it's like, oh my, I beat the game. But I feel like I wouldn't do it at this point, because that's something my children can eat up.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Club Shay Shay. I am your host, Shannon Sharp. I'm also the proprietor of Club Shay Shay. And for today, we have a very special edition of Club Shay Shay. We're on the road. He's one of the most accomplished R&B performers and hit makers of his era. He surpassed Elvis Presley for the most gold certified singles and Billboard Hot 100 entries among all male vocals in history. The first male singer to have 20 platinum singles. The first R&B singer in history to own 100 Hot 100 hits. One of the highest grossing African-American touring artists of all times. One of the best-selling digital artists of all time. A Grammy Award winner, global superstar, songwriter, dancer, actor, producer, entrepreneur, author, father. Some call him the king of R&B. When they say R&B is dead, I say check this man's resume. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Brown.
What's up, man?
Man, it was a long time coming.
Man, Jacquees the king of R&B, man.
Jacquees,
I'm going to let him keep that title, man.
You're going to let him keep it. Bro, how you doing?
I'm great, man.
You know, before I start every show, I have my own cognac. I brought you a gift, you a box.
Thank you.
But I want you to try it.
Come on, let's get it. Let's do it.
You go.
Oh, I was about to do it. Okay, come on.
You can open it if you want to.
I'm going to say that for later.
Okay.
I don't want to be too saucy.
Hold on. We got to get a toast first. Bro, continued success.
Thank you so much.
Congrats on everything you've
done.
Thank
you, brother.
So much more to accomplish. I appreciate you. Chris.
It's smooth.
Smooth? You like that? That's something you can...
Yeah, I don't like when it be like...
Yeah, it's easy. It don't got that burn to it.
Don't got it. It's
nice and smooth.
Yep.
You heard the man.
Yeah, it's smooth.
Bro, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great.
Great?
Yeah.
Man, I really appreciate you taking time. Jacquees reached out and said, man, Chris Brown's manager trying to get in touch with you. You mind if I give him your number? I was like, sure, no problem. And I'm like, because you and I, we had talked a little bit before, yeah. And you're like, I'm going overseas. When I get back, let's do it.
Yeah.
I say, this man, biz, I see he ain't going to find time.
I got to, man.
And it would happen so quick because this is like a week. And yeah. This was done. I thought you was like, are we going to do it in July or August? He said, nah, we're going to do it in a week.
Yeah, yeah. I had to come through because I don't like to skip out on my promises, man. I know we talked. I was like, nah, I got you. So, yeah.
You did. You say you have it. You got me. So let's talk about what you got going on. Before we get to that, basketball. Yeah. I know you love basketball.
Yeah.
Ron Artest said he believed had you not chosen the music path, you could have been an NBA player.
Yeah, with a lot more discipline, I think. I definitely think I could have pursued it. I really loved it. I still love the game. I play all the time. As far as like training and having to get conditioned, I think I could have did it in I don't think this profession kind of made me
allowed
like
you to do kind of your schedule as opposed to someone else's schedule.
Yeah, so I got to kind of even get acclimated in being a team player.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
because when I hear everybody, Snoop Dogg, I hear a lot of the NBA players, they're like, okay, what rapper could like really hoop? I'm talking about like really, really hoop. The first two names come up, you, J. Cole.
Yeah.
So, one-on-one, who win it?
Well, right now, I mean, J. Cole, I got to give him his credit because he's improved his basketball game.
Right.
Like him, I know he worked with a couple of other guys that I work with too, as far as like basketball training. But he's amazing. I'm still not gonna doubt me now.
Yeah.
You know, so I give me like a week of practice, and then I think I got.
I left a couple of guys out. Drake, he be hooping. Lil Durk,
down with them.
Is you and J. Cole?
I think I'm gonna get J. Cole though.
We can make that happen.
I would love to do that. I'm saying it humbly though, because J. Cole is a.
Because I watch both of you guys in the celebrity games at the NBA All Star Game.
Yeah.
Seen you play a couple of times with some real players.
Yeah.
You for real got game.
Yeah. If I'm serious about it, I play most of the time. I try to just have fun, but I'm not taking the L. I gotta do that.
How much do we need to put up to make sure you take it serious? If we put up 100,000, winner take all.
Oh no, I'm in there. That's mine. I'm taking that. That's mine.
So Cole got no chance.
I mean, nah. Nah.
So if you were to say, if you're an NBA, if your game, Chris Brown, your game reminds me of what NBA player?
You know what's funny, bro? A long time ago, when I used to play, a lot of my homies, they was like, you look like CJ McCullough.
Okay.
And I was like, why? And then I looked at some of his like high school pictures and then some of his games, like he's long, linky, played like me. So I was like, I'll take that.
Right.
Any NBA player I would take.
You know,
that's a hard profession to get into.
Right. Did you hoop in high school?
Yes, definitely hooped in high school. I actually played varsity on the JV squad, but you know, as a bring on.
Right.
But I was always playing with older guys as a young age. When I was like 10, 11 years old, my dad used to take me to the gym and drop me off. It's like, look, I don't care. Get in the game. I don't care how old it is. Get in the game.
Right.
And I'm playing with grown men, 27, 30-year-olds. I'm, you know.
So what's your favorite NBA team?
Favorite NBA team, man. I'm in L.A. right now. I wish my Lakers could, you know. I really want LeBron and them to really do something, man, and make some history happen. But I'm such a fan of the game and certain eras or certain different teams that it's hard for me to be like, hey, I'm this team all the way, you know, because it's like, dang, I'm friends with this guy on this team.
Right.
Me and him have a personal relationship, so I'm rooting for him.
Right.
And then on this side, so whoever wins, the best player wins. Right. But yeah.
Who's your favorite player?
Favorite player, Kyrie.
You like Kyrie?
Kyrie. He's one of my closest friends too. But I, as far as like seeing him play, being around him, playing with him, like he's probably one of the most phenomenal guys when it comes to the English on that backboard.
Right. So what do you like so much about Kyrie's game?
It's tenacity. He's aggressive, but it's graceful.
Right.
You know, and he's going, and I think he makes other players better.
Right.
I think he's getting into that consciousness of saying, hey, look, we got to do this together. So I think he brings out a lot of spunk and a lot of real talent out of a lot of players that probably already knew they had it, but he encourages that.
I know you follow the game closely, so you see some of the trades that transpire.
Yeah.
You see Bradley Beal goes from the Wizards, go to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
So now he pairs with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Yeah.
You see Chris Paul gets traded. He gets moved again. Now he goes to the Golden State Warriors to go with Steph, Draymond, and potentially Draymond. Draymond's an unrestricted free agent. You see Jordan Poole go to the Wizards. So you think this is Kevin Durant's opportunity now to get a ring away from Golden State?
I thought it was this time.
You thought it was this time?
I thought it was this time. But I think it's up in the air. I think Chris going to
Golden State.
Man, that's a good place for him. I just want him to get a ring.
Right.
I like Chris been doing this thing for a while, but I really want him to get a ring. But I think KD is like, you know, they gonna be coming. They gonna be coming.
Would you like to see Chris Paul on the Lakers?
He would have been a good asset, but I feel like he would have, there's two type of players. There's the coach's player, and then there's the militant or the follower.
Right.
So I feel like he would help in assisting them get it together, like, you know, bringing them all in,
right.
Making sure from even from Anthony Davis to, hey, look, we got to do this. Y'all make sure y'all stop this. He has that tenacity.
Right.
So I feel like him and LeBron I think they would have paired up. I don't think they would have clashed.
What about a Kyrie LeBron reunion?
I would love it. I would love it. I think
here in LA, or you want Bron to go to Dallas?
Nah.
It's got to happen in LA, huh?
Yeah, it got to be in LA. I would love to see them paired up. I think their chemistry is like undeniable, and I think with seeing those two guys in motion, it's just a spark another uprise in those guys. So I feel like that's what I want to see.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what Kyle want to do, man, but I would love to see that.
I want to get your take on this. You've been in the spotlight, man, basically your whole life. I mean, since you were probably 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And you get Zion Williamson, who's been in the spotlight since he's probably 15, 16.
Yeah.
And you see the issue he having with girls. What advice would you give him? How would you tell him to navigate this situation? He's in it now.
Yeah.
You can't turn it back. He has a girl. He has one young lady pregnant. He's going to have, he's welcoming a child. And then you have this other one over here just putting all his business out there.
I mean, it's hard out here when it comes to that. I would just pray for Zion, man. I feel like, hey, man.
Is that what he's in need of, prayer?
Just pray and, you know, be the best man you could be at that point. You know, I'm blessed to have three children. Three different baby moms, though,
okay.
But at the same time, the relationship that I built with them, and the energy that I kind of come with is a little bit more. I don't know, I'm an R&B guy, so
right.
I'm a little bit more subtle with it.
Is it hard?
It's very hard. You gotta also watch out. It's like, you know, we all want to be in the same spots,
right.
The same places, the clubs. We want to be. To this day, I still want to see some beautiful women, but
right.
At the same time, you just gotta be mindful of the certain company you will keep or the traps that will set themselves. As athletes, I'm pretty sure the guys on the team probably give him real pep talk. Look, you can't do this. Look,
right.
This is, you know, but on the road, on our end, it's a little bit different, but I understand what he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
So he just gotta hold his head together, man. hold your head, big man.
So hopefully he's learned from some of the mistakes that he had made. Because I'm sure this social media is a different animal.
Man, animal. I'm engaged with the social media stuff, but I try to stay away. Like, my fans always ask him, why you never like posting selfies or you never?
Right.
I'm like, sometimes I'll just be wanting to chill because it's a lot.
You want to get away from that.
Yeah, sometimes you need it. Sometimes you need that peace of mind. So I feel like, in this era, it's so easy to contact someone.
Yeah.
You know, so even if...
They made it too accessible.
Too accessible. You can scroll down your Explore page and you're like, oh, man, hold on. And just say, hey. And they hit you back and it's like...
Whoa. You can say that. Most people can't say that. They going to say, bye. You can say, hi. It's like, is this really you? You say, yes.
Yeah, you got to use that vanish mode.
So that thing disappeared at the company?
Definitely.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, the Ja Morant, he was suspended for the first 25 games of the season.
Yeah.
What if you could see, if Ja is sitting right where I'm sitting,
yeah,
and you could talk to him, what would you say?
I mean, I don't know what I would say. Because I also look at my life and I kind of look at it as a mirror with certain things, especially when it comes to like, being in shunned in a certain negative spotlight. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's going. I mean, everybody learns, man. He's young, but I feel like he's people make mistakes. You know, sometimes we make continuous mistakes.
Right.
But you know, I feel like I can't tell him how to write his story or find his path. I would just say, just do what you came in to do.
Right.
That's all I can say.
You try to surround yourself with as many good people as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And if you feel somebody is not adding, you have to remove them.
Yeah.
Has there been a situation where you felt someone was not adding to Chris Brown, but they were taking?
100%.
That you had to like, bro, I'm sorry, but I've got to stop the ride here. You have to get off.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Through the years.
Is it hard?
It's very hard because you build relationships with people and you have like brotherhoods with people. People stay, like when you're on the road, you got people with you every day. And you know, some people, I'm a family first type of guy.
Yes.
But family doesn't necessarily mean have to be biologically.
Right. It's not necessarily blood. Because sometimes blood.
Yeah. You know, so I feel like I have a nice entourage or a nice group of people now that are for me, that understand the bigger goal.
Right.
You know, so I think now it was very hard for me because I would hang out with, you know, we'd be with gangbangers, we'd be with the wrong type of people, you would be with, you know, just people that don't go with the life path that you might want to choose.
Correct.
So I feel like but you kind of start absorbing their energy. So if it doesn't benefit you, I feel like you really have to kind of like separate yourself. And I was, my children were able to kind of like get me out of that.
So it was the kids for you.
For me, per se, yes, definitely my kids, because it made me have real responsibility. Like I could be reckless with no one to care for, but you know my children.
You got responsibility.
Yeah,
now
so it kind of made me start thinking.
On you and that sees what Chris is doing.
Yeah,
sees what Daddy's doing.
Yeah.
So you feel that had you not had kids, you might have been on a different path.
Possibly, I might have been a lot more careless. Because I was reckless. I've been reckless when I was young, a lot.
But you're still young, Chris. You know that, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about 19, 20,
right.
21. Like, right. Yeah, I was feeling myself, you know? So right. I think now I'm able to be appreciative of, like, let's say if people like a song I have, or people listen to me, like, you know what, I really like that song. I really feel it and be like, for real, oh, thank you. And it's a real thank you. It's not like, oh, all
right. Right.
You know, so I think my kids made me kind of like see other aspects that were fun in life, but I'm still able to have my career or the lifestyle that I live, but maintain it in a better balance. You know,
do your kids make you appreciate more of life?
Yeah, they make me appreciate the stuff that I used to do when I was a kid, because they do everything that I used to do when I was a kid. So and then being able to talk to them, like, my dad would tell me certain things, but there would be limitations on it. I feel like I'm just like, hey, let me tell you this, because I know you're gonna do this.
Right.
So let me explain to you early. So it's a little different. Like my kids are definitely my friends until I have to be their father. When they're old.
Right.
Like older, and I'm like, look, you can't be doing it right now. I'm in the fun stages.
Right.
Yeah.
So how difficult is it for your kids, considering your parents didn't have what you have? So how difficult is it going to be for you to rear your kids compared to how your parents reared you?
The funniest thing for that is that I love the people that I have around, but I always tell my mom, I tell their moms, I'm like, look, I didn't have none of this, like, but I still had so much fun as a child. My mom and my father, they allow me to be like,
kids need things now, though, Chris, to be happy.
Oh,
you didn't need things.
I spoil them now.
Okay.
But I always joke with my oldest daughter, and I'm like, look, I'm finna take you to the hood. You finna go and learn all and stay over there with your cousins for a couple weekends.
Right.
Just so you nothing is handed to you. I want you to understand, like, I want you to be just as sweet how my mother is and how my mother instilled in me. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, find yourself, love life, and you don't have to follow in daddy's footsteps.
Right.
Like, if they want to sing, great. If they want to perform, entertain, business, perfect. But I'm just as happy if they want to do anything else.
When you were growing up, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're seven to 10 years old. What did Chris Brown want to be?
Seven, eight? Man, I'm not gonna lie. At that time, mm-hmm. I love music so much, but it was kind of like my own personal, like, okay, nobody really knows I love this music like right. this. I really wanted to like play sports. I wanted to be in the NBA.
Did you play football?
Yes, definitely play football. Ninth grade, I'm gonna be real with you. Okay. My ninth grade year, I had broke my wrist in both bones. I snapped it. Boom. Catching the I was a wide receiver.
Right.
But I caught a pass. Boom. I'm right at the 10-yard line.
Right.
My cousin that plays on the other team hits me, breaks my arm.
He broke your wrist?
Broke my wrist. It was done.
Cuz, how you do me like this?
Man, I was like, what's he doing? He was apologizing and everything. And we went undefeated that year. I was so mad. But what happened was it kind of almost prohibited me from playing basketball. So I was like, you know what? I might need to, if I really want to do the basketball, I might need to I'm going to give the football up. You know, but I love football, though. Right. Still love football. Yeah.
Who, you have a team? You have a player, favorite player?
You know, I'm from Virginia, so it's a whole bunch of either the Redskins or you the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't really, you know, Virginia, we don't really have a
you don't
football
have a team.
Team.
Say, yeah,
but in my household, it was the Redskins, it was the Cowboys, and they used to argue. Yeah.
Do you like the Cowboys? How you like the, hold on, if you from that area, if you from the D.C., the Maryland, the Virginia, yeah. you hate the Cowboys.
Nah. See, in our household, they love the Cowboys.
They love the Cowboys?
Yeah, they love the Cowboys.
Y'all had to be undercover Cowboys.
Yeah, you put big coats on. Big coats. No, don't wear the jersey to the game.
So 7-8, you're like, okay, I think it really. So when did you start to take music serious and say, you know what, this basketball thing got to take a back seat?
I was actually doing music secretively. Like, I was doing, like nobody in my school knew that I kind of, like, did music. They didn't know I could sing and things like that. But I would be in basketball practice. I'm saying 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade. Basketball practice, 6:30, didn't drive an hour away, go to the studio and be there till maybe, let's say, 3 in the morning and got to get back and go back to school. And, you know, so I was doing that a while.
Wow.
But I had met these producers, a couple guys that were from the area, and I was like, no, I'm serious about it. So, you know, I was a little nervous because I never really recorded and did right. stuff like that. So my first time actually doing it, I was kind of like just wet behind the ears. Like, hey, man, what are we going to do? Like, how do I do this?
Right.
Like, do I even sound good?
Right.
But I knew I had it in me to do it. So right. I just was like, this is kind of calling me faster than I think right. the other thing is.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but how was it, like, given so much, you're a child superstar, and the expectations that come along with that?
Man, I was kind of still in bliss. Like, when I was, like, 15, 14, my first song came out, I was kind of, like, shocked. So everything was new. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had tough skin because I was, you know, I was ready for it. So right. whether it had to be doing hours and hours of van rides from the east to the west coast, or, you know, going through the Bible Belt, doing every interview, every radio station, it was something I wanted to do. Right. I felt like it was my calling. Like, and I'm from a small town, so I was like, how did I even get here?
Right.
Every step of the way. So I was appreciative. You know, I was ready for it.
Did you do talent shows growing up?
I think I did one actual talent show. It was at summer camp.
Oh, okay.
It was at like a summer camp I did.
You better have a one.
Oh, I won.
Okay, I was going to say, because somebody got bragging rights.
Yeah, I know. I definitely won, and I did. It's funny. I did Thong Song Cisco.
Oh, man.
Bro. I had two, like, my little homegirl dancers. Like, bro, I had to be like, bro, I had to have been seven, like 7 or 8.
Oh. I hope that was at the end of the week camp, if not the beginning of the week, because they're probably going to send you home.
Oh, no. The camp leaders, they laughed, but everybody kind of went crazy in there. And I was like, I think I might can do this.
Right.
You know, but that was my first actual talent show. I didn't really like, I used to go to the mall and sing. I used to go to the mall. Like, my homeboys would go, come with me, like, the weekend would go, drive up to the mall right. and be like, and they'll see a group of girls. And, you know, in, like, the food courts in certain malls, it echoes.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? They'd be like, yo, bro, just sing. And I'll sing Mario, I'll sing somebody's song that's hot on the radio, Usher song. Like, so, and they would be like, hey, what's y'all name? And I'd be like, okay, we good. We can do this every weekend. Let's do it.
So you were singing in the mall to get the girls?
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. 100%. It worked every time.
It worked. Yeah, it worked every time. Unless they were too grown, they'd be like, "Y'all some little boys. We can't mess with y'all."
So what have you learned? So if what would the 33? I think you're 33, about to be 34.
No, I just turned 34.
You just turned 34. Yeah. What would the 34-year-old tell the 15 to 20, 23-year-old Chris Brown?
15 to 23-year-old.
What would the 34-year-old tell him?
I would say, I never thought about that. That's crazy. I think I would tell him, be humble. The road ahead isn't the end. It's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, but be humble in everything you do. So.
It said you discovered at your dad's gas station.
Yeah, kind of.
So how did that go? Okay, your dad seen you had to put. Did you?
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Pump gas, or you just at the gas station with your dad, and you know, you just singing, and people like, man.
Yeah, I used to help my dad. I used to go there after school, and then you know how certain people come in. He was like, hey, does anybody in this town like do music, talent, anything? And then right. And I was just listening to the guy, and my dad was like, well, my son sings, and so he basically gave us like his contact information, and through him I met the producers and the people who actually got me to
right. You
know, get to New York and meeting the record labels. Right. So a lot of that time that was kind of like a 4-year process, but that kind of started.
Right.
That's how I was discovered.
So I mean, Teddy Riley's from your area,
yeah.
Timberland, Magoo,
yeah.
Missy,
Pharrell,
all
yeah.
you Pharrell, yeah, you ain't bumping to none of them, mate.
Nah, cause Virginia's so big. I'm sure like. Virginia's big and it's different places. Where I'm from, it's maybe like, I want to say, an hour and a half away from where they are.
Okay.
You know, and then we don't have like musical centers or
right.
or performing arts stuff that right. we can showcase our talent.
It's, right.
Virginia's really like a sports, you know, a state. So I feel like we were kind of like the rose in the concrete.
Right.
I feel like everybody, right. I think everybody was kind of like, oh, you made it? Man, it's amazing.
Right.
But the you know, Teddy Riley and all them, they kind of started it off because Virginia Beach kind of was,
yeah.
Was. I remember my moms and aunts and
Pumps the like, Pump.
Man, they going, they say, we going down there for the weekend. All right, we'd never be able to go.
Rump Shaker.
Man, they was going out there probably wilding. Ooh. Mama, I hope you won't. But
you were, I appreciate you. So when you tell your parents you're dropping out of high school.
Yeah.
Did they say, boy, you crazy? Or did it
well,
say,
I kind of made it sound nice.
Okay.
I said, Mama, I got this opportunity. I remember being in the phone. I was in New York, but I was in the record label's office. But I went to the bathroom. I said, Mom, I really think I got a record deal. I said, but I'm not going to get out of school. They'll give me a tutor. You know. Right. So I actually finished school. So But it took me, instead of me finishing.
When you're supposed to.
Yeah, I left. It took me like 2 years because I was on the road, I was working.
Right.
My 9th and 10th grade, I left my 10th grade year, and that's when my single came out.
Right.
So I was supposed to be class of 07, but I ended up becoming class of 09 right. because I had to wait. Yeah.
What made you bet on yourself? Why were you so sure that this was the opportunity that was too good to pass up and I'm willing to, like, you know what, forego my final 2 years?
I feel like the dream, I never lost that. When they be like, what you want to be when you grow up and you still have those grandiose ambitions, mm-hmm. I felt like the light bulb was clinking. Like, right. Hey, this is that.
Right.
You've been asking for this. This is what you're asking for. Go. And look where we are in this situation. Like, my family didn't have money at all. So it's like, I wanted to do better than my whole, like, before me and before them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be able to say, you know what? I did this out of everybody in my family.
Right.
Everybody in my town. I saw the opportunity to make it a better opportunity for them. And definitely make a better opportunity for my mom.
You leave, you move to New York. New York is really, really different than Virginia.
Yeah.
Did it get lonely? Did you get homesick? Did you say, damn, I don't know if I made did the right thing here?
You know what? It was fun because of the freedom. Like, my mom didn't know at first, because a lot of the times I would go on a Greyhound from Virginia and go all the way to Harlem, and I would be
you with, by yourself?
No, I would be with the guys who were in the production team.
Okay.
And they had a son. He's my brother to this day, but we were the same age, so he kind of showed me the ropes.
Right.
And he grew right up in middle Harlem, so I'm like, I was kind of, it was a culture shock. It was like, man, I felt so green. Like, I felt so out of it.
Right.
And I would speak to people. I would go and see people and be like, hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, that ain't how they do it in New York.
Like, what the hell wrong with
you? Right, you're right. Yeah, you got to be from the South.
Yeah, so I had to really kind of like get acclimated. But over about a 3 month period, I kind of started finding my way. And I think that kind of made me be adaptable in every situation and being an artist, going, whether it be Belgium, whether it be London, Australia. Like, I'm able to be presentable in a room
right.
amongst different cultures right. and ethnicities.
Was it ever nice that you think this wasn't going to happen?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. I feel like a lot of people don't see no's that everybody gets. Like, mm-hmm. like they just see the success and,
right.
and they don't think that it takes hard work or dedication.
Because they think you just got discovered, you went to this place, and then boom, it blew up.
Yeah, like it would sound like that if it was written in a fairy tale story. Right. But no, a lot of hard work, a lot of late nights, sleepless nights, stressful nights, crying in the studio,
right.
not thinking I'm good enough, like as a younger artist. But yeah, a lot of that. But I think like, I didn't let that doubt overshadow the dream. I feel like my heart was in it, so I was ready for anything. Right. Just even to this day, like my heart and my passion is in what I do.
It's still that,
yeah. So I feel like that's what I guess keeps me consistent or keeps people interested or you know, engaged in my music.
Right. Def Jam, you get a contract offer from Def Jam. They offer you a contract on the spot, and you turned it down. Why did you turn it down? Was the numbers? What made Chris Brown? Because this is your opportunity.
Yep.
This is Def Jam. This ain't no glass of music.
Yeah.
This is Def Jam. They offer you a contract, Chris, and you said, nah, I'm good.
I think I'm country. The man wouldn't talk to my mama.
Huh?
So basically, he wanted me to basically, like, with the production guys. I'm not gonna say the executive name because I love him to this day. I'm never gonna expose him. But I wanted to get him on the phone with my mom and be like, okay, cool. So could you explain this to my mom, right, what's going on? You know, I think I'm 14 at the time. So yeah, 14, just turned 14. And my production crew was there, but you know, they're my handlers at that time. Right. But you know, at the same time, we're all in the same excitement. Right. But I just wanted to make sense. My mom is, her word is,
she's an adult.
Yeah,
tell her what I'm your mama's boy,
so you got to talk to my mom.
Right.
So as soon as that happened, he was like, oh, no, I don't need that. We're good. And I kind of didn't like what that, I felt like they wanted to get over.
Right, right.
Like I wasn't green. I was very street smart. So I just was like, well, why wouldn't you just,
right.
You know, I'm not saying, hey, say hi to my mama, right, such and such.
No, just like, tell her what you're telling me.
Exactly. So that kind of made me kind of have reservations. But then Tina Davis, who was my manager at the time, she was working at Def Jam.
Right.
I think they had a merger, so she went her separate ways.
Right.
But I had learned so much from her.
Right.
Even from going into the different meetings, how to prep, how to be ready to perform. So I was like, you know what? I need someone like that can show me that, because I'm just going off the raw music at this point. So she was able to. I was like, Tina, would you mind managing me? And so she was like, cool, let's do it. And from there, she actually got me all the other deals or other sit-ins with the labels that I was sitting with. So yeah.
Did he turn you down?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did that meeting go? So how did the meeting go, and then what did Diddy say? Why did he turn you down?
And this is probably maybe 2 or 3 years prior.
Okay.
So I was like 11 or 12 at this time. The same kid that I said that showed me the ropes in New York, yeah. He me and him had songs. It was like a group. Mm-hmm. So me and him had different songs that we would do together, and I would do solo songs. So we both got the audition. He's like, all right, cool. Let's go and meet him and let's go sing. So we went in there together. And he was like, cool. We did the song that we have together, and I'm singing on the chorus. And so he was just like, cool. I'll talk to y'all. You know, can he go outside for a second? We're gonna just talk. They was like, nah, we don't want him.
They didn't want you.
Nah, they didn't want me. So I was like, as a 12, 13 year old, I was in that elevator probably crying like a mug. So
you knew who Diddy was, right?
You're like, Of course. And at the pinnacle, I'm like, man, first of all, I was just excited just to meet them. Yeah, like, so being in the room kind of made me like shaky. So I probably was nervous and singing crazy, but at the same time, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna pass on that.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna show him. Like, so that was my motivation to keep going too.
So because knowing who Diddy was,
yeah,
for Diddy to say, nah, you need to go on outside, it probably would be like a basketball player saying, Phil Jackson saying, nah, go away. You know, one of these prominent coaches saying, nah, bro, you're not, I don't think you're good enough.
Yeah.
So you go, so you're on the elevator. What are you thinking? Like, am I not good enough? Because P. Diddy just told me, like, nah.
Of course. I was in the elevator like, ah, man, this might be it for me. You know, because as a kid, when you're a kid, you think anything that's, it's over. But I think I just took that motivation. Me and my homeboy, we just was like, you know what? Let's just keep going back in the studio.
Right.
Let's just make more songs. Right. Let's get better. We just started. So mm-hmm. I thank Puff for that, man. Right. Hey, Diddy, man, I appreciate it though. Like, cause that made me get on my grind.
You say you hired Tina Davis as your business manager. What did you learn from her?
I learned everything, from media training to how to be presentable in a room, how to speak to people, how to listen to people. You know, I was like so country and like, hey, what's up, y'all? I'm just loud.
Right.
So I feel like she guided me through a lot of the music industry, the business of how it works. Mm-hmm. Meeting PDs, program directors, and going to different radio stations, teaching me how to have showmanship. Like she was like, nah. She used to tell me because Neo's a good friend of mine as well, and she worked with Neo before. So she was like, you don't got showmanship like Neo. And I was like, huh? What am I not doing? Right. So I would have just rehearsals, not even dance rehearsals, just rehearsals of me just figuring out how to be me on stage or what was me when I get on stage.
Right.
You know?
So when you hear that first song, you hear it come on the radio, what's going through your mind?
Man, I'm cussing, first of all. I'm in the basement, so my mama don't hear me, but I'm cussing. I remember I had a spot in Jersey because right when I signed my deal, I wasn't out of school yet.
Right.
But they had to push me.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah! I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Put me in a place to where I could be closer to the label to start working.
Right.
So I was still doing school in Virginia, and I had just left them, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm about to be in the radio." Everybody, right. Like, man, you ain't on the radio. What you talking about? So then when they say, I remember the song came on, my cousins was calling me like, "Bro, they playing you on the radio, bro," and I'm like, "You lying?" And I remember I turned it on. I think I sat in the corner and was like, and yelled for like 5 minutes straight. Like, I felt it was the best feeling. Like, I still feel like that when I hear my songs on the radio now. It's not the same as excitement, but right. It's still the
it's
same.
It's something about that first time in it.
Yeah. It's definitely.
Run It made you the first artist since 95 to have a debut single to top the charts.
Man.
Did you know that song? Obviously, it was the first song that was released. But did you know that song would forever change your life?
No. No, I'm going to be real. When I did that song, we were in Miami and Hit Factory, Scott Storch, Sean Garrett, and I was just learning. I was a student because this was my first ever album. So any producer I would meet, I'm just soaking it all in, you know? So I'm scared. I'm thinking like, I don't sound good. Do I sound good? I don't know if I like the song because I was too nervous in my head. But then it was like, nah, this is the one. But I knew I wanted to dance in it.
Right.
The music was bumping, so I was like, look, I want to dance. I just want to showcase this. But I didn't know. I think I never had an expectation that it would have the success that it put me at. Right. You know?
So what's your favorite song of all the songs you've done? What's your favorite song? And give me your top three.
My top three. Man. It's so hard for me because I have... Just to be honest, I have about 15,000 unreleased songs, right?
What?
Yeah. I got like in my phone alone, like in my in certain apps, I have I want to say maybe 1,800, just 1,800 to like yeah.
So obviously we're in your studio.
Yeah.
So you'll come down here like you know, it's like and just crank out songs.
Yeah, yeah. It was a point where I used to stay in the studio, like when I was doing a lot of my earlier albums, I had to learn. But around I want to say around the Fame album and certain stuff like that, I was kind of like in my zone. I knew what I wanted.
Okay, using your bag.
Yeah. So even for me now, I put the studio in my house because, like, I can draw inspiration faster. Like if I think of something, if I think of an idea, like oh I got an idea for this song, I don't have to like wait or set up the studio and be like okay I gotta go to the studio now.
So if you're in your bed at night and you think of something, you just come down here and just.
Yeah, depends, because I make sure my engineer is awake. Yeah, right. If it's like 5-6 in the morning, I'm like, man, I'll just do it in the morning.
Right.
But like, if it's midnight, I'm like, hey, man, you up? Let's do it.
Wow. So 18,000 unreleased songs. what? I mean, how do you get to 18? How do you get to like 100? Okay, somebody said, well, you know, I got like 20. I got 50 unreleased songs.
Yeah.
But you saying like in some of your apps, you have 1,800.
Yeah.
So you just like go days, months, years where you just record.
Yeah, I literally recorded like 4 songs yesterday. But I did like, I do it in spurts. So sometimes, some days I'll just relax. I might do 1 song. But some days it's just like because I feel like it's like sharpening your sword, man. Like being better at your craft, like shooting jump, getting your jump shots up.
Right.
Like I feel like I don't want to be complacent and thinking I got it all figured out.
Right.
I never want to think that, I'm Chris Brown, so whatever I put out is going to be great. I want to make sure it is, you know?
Are there any songs that you wrote for an artist that if people actually knew you wrote it, they would be surprised?
I think back in the day they did. I wrote a couple pop records. I wrote a couple Jonas Brothers songs. I wrote a couple, a couple of Rihanna songs. Damn, I do a couple of country records. I used to write a lot for a lot of different artists, but it was more so me experimenting with what music was. Like I wasn't just doing R&B, so I would just write. But I've LaToya Luckett I've written for. It's been a lot of people I've written for, but I feel like a lot of people didn't know I really write because as an artist, you know, you get a lot of artists that music artists that don't.
Don't write for themselves.
Yeah, but I can't shun them because I work with a lot of producers, a lot of writers, and we do different things. But I've also had time to sit down and just really have my own songs that people are loving. I'm like, I'm glad they love that. I wrote that song, you know. So right. Yeah.
What's your favorite music genre? Is it pop? Is it R&B? Dance? Euro? Rap?
I'm eclectic. So I like certain songs. Like I think when a song comes out. And it moves me. I just like it. It could be a country song. It could be on piano song. It could be a heavy metal song. Like, you know, I just think whatever frequency that attunes me to it is what I kind of gravitate to. In my lane of my music, I just love doing feel good music, fun music, music people can dance to. Right. But at the same time, give them certain. Things that get them through their life, because I see a lot of my fans, or I talk to them, whether it's meet and greets, whether it's Discord or whatever it is, and we talk, and it's like they explain to me how certain songs got them through life situations, and I'm like, wow, that really it kind of sinks in with me. It makes me kind of like, dang, I'm really doing the music for an actual purpose. So when I do certain songs, speak from my experience, but also try to speak to uplift somebody, make them have fun. Or make them be like, hey, man, this makes me feel good inside.
Are there any features that you turned down? You was like, damn, I should have hopped on that one.
Any features that I turned down that I... No. I ain't gonna lie. I'm on a lot of features. I feel like it's certain songs that I wish that I was on when I would hear certain songs. But then I would be like, that's just my artist ego wanting to be a part
right,
of it.
Wanting to be a part of it.
Yeah, but... I feel like even there's certain records out now that I'll hear and I'm like, man, that's amazing. But I think that's good for me because I don't think I get convoluted in what I sound like.
Right.
I'm able to appreciate other people's music and not be like, oh, it's just only about me.
Have you ever been removed from a song after it's been recorded?
I don't think so.
Have you removed somebody from a song after it's been recorded?
Yes.
So how do you go about telling them or telling him or her that their verse isn't gonna make it?
Man,
do you tell them or you have somebody else call and tell them? I think it'd be better coming from you though.
Yeah, I would tell them. I've done songs, like even with my, I ain't gonna say their names. Certain artists that are like really friends with me, and we've done songs. But I may have had like two songs already with them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, I'm gonna take you off this one because we already got this other song.
Right.
You know, so I've done that. But then
that's what you tell them.
No, that's been the reason.
Okay, but
the other ones that got taken off just to get taken off, right. It just didn't fit. It didn't fit the record.
Okay.
And I feel like the timing with it. I'll explain it to them, and right. I'll be like, look, it just doesn't fit the timing for what we're doing right. and how we want to shoot the record. Right. But I haven't let down too many people though. I haven't tried to let down right. too many people.
You a fit guy? You in the train, you like to work out. So what do you do? So what do? You on tour. Mm-hmm. How does Chris Brown manage to stay in shape? Because you're a performer. Yeah. You're not just a singer, you're a performer. Yeah. You're an entertainer. Let me take that back. You're an entertainer.
Yeah.
So singing, dancing, that's a part of the act.
Yeah.
So how do you maintain that level night after night after night, week after month after month?
Man, I just think I got more adrenaline than most people. But at the same time, my team, man, I think everybody keeps a tight schedule when it comes to what we're doing on the road.
Right.
Like, our chef makes sure we eat the right stuff. I don't try to eat stuff that's going to sit heavy. I want to see anything that builds my protein or just builds my endurance. That's what I'm on
right.
tell you. I'm really finicky about it, like, because we also have after parties after right. shows on tour. It's a long road, but at the same time, I make sure I at least get my 8 hours of sleep.
Right.
So the rest is that me and my dancers, that workout is like no
yeah,
other.
Yeah, man.
So, that's... you know, we got our workout regimen. We do our like 15 to 30 minute flash set before we get on stage and then repeat it over and over.
Right.
So I've been able to have... this fast metabolism, hopefully it never slows up.
I'm just trying to figure out, how do you protect your voice?
With me, well, I wouldn't advise this to everybody else because I do smoke every now and then, a lot. But I use these pills. They're called Mullen pills. They're good for your lungs. Mm-hmm. So, and I make sure that I'm not just smoking before I go on stage. So a lot of the times whenever I am smoking, I'm doing something to counteract it. I'm making sure I'm...
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert, sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new, Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
And vocal rest is the best. Like, right. Like I'm yelling on stage two and a half hours.
Right.
You know, so after that, chill out after that.
Right.
Say, what's up, bro? Cool. You know, I try to refrain from doing anything that's going to put too much of a strain on my voice.
Right. What I have to applaud, bro, I don't know. I mean, I have to go back to like James Brown to see somebody to sing and perform like you.
Thank you.
I mean, man. It's continuous. It's nonstop. I mean, the first time I ever heard of Chris Brown, I heard you say something like, oh, I can outdance Usher. I said, man, this man don't know this damn about. I said, he's 13 and he already lied. I said, who taught this man to lie like this at 13? And then I watched it. I'm like, and then you're like, I might get Michael Jackson. I'm like, I don't know. He might. I mean, to see the way he moved, man, and the way he can contort his body, I don't know. He might be on to something. When did you learn to do that?
I watched that. That's from being a kid at the cookout, man. That's from your uncle's like, man, come out here, man. Do that dance you be doing, right, man. So I feel like my childhood gave me that freedom to really, like, you know,
right,
be from MC Hammer, watching MC Hammer,
yeah.
Michael Jackson. I always was moving, and I had a fascination and love with rhythm. So I feel like, you know, even in sports, you got to have the rhythm.
Right.
So that just was like natural to me. It came natural. I feel like it's from the soul.
Yeah.
So I feel like even dancing now, like I can learn technical stuff. I can learn stuff, but I like when people to see it to be like, that feel good. He having fun doing that.
Yeah, but you do realize that a lot of the stuff you do, they can't do right. Like, you know what I mean? You like the only one that can do that.
Somebody got
to
do it.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I like to see a dance like, you know, okay, you moonwalk. Okay, yeah. Break dance. I mean, you do a little break dancing, but yeah. A lot of the stuff that you be doing, Chris, like, man, people going to break their neck.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise people to try some of the stuff I do. That's why it's good to just see it at the show. Kids, y'all can have fun. Y'all a little bit more flexible.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I'm thankful to be able to still have these knees to be working like this. And I don't get up like, oh man, I'm tired, I gotta go dance.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
So as long as I'm able and God blesses me to be able to dance and showcase this talent and hopefully inspire the world, I'm gonna keep doing it.
Why don't you think other artists have adopted your approach to become performers? I mean, sometimes you see performers or you see like singers. I mean, yeah. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, but I look at you as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. I look at Beyonce as an entertainer.
Absolutely.
But they're singers. Adele is a singer.
Yeah.
She got a mermaid dress on. She on that mic. I saw at the observatory. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I saw Beyonce and I'm like, how she do that for 2 hours?
Yeah.
I watch you, I'm like, how he do that for 2 hours?
I think because you know different, I think it's different stars, man. There's different stars in the sky. So I kind of my take on it is everybody has their thing.
Right.
You know, I feel like in our genre, it's like a old art, but
yeah.
It's like, you know, because you got to really do your research or you got to really, you know, want it. And I think Beyonce, I got to always give her credit. She wants it. She has always wanted it. You know what I'm saying? So, and she is it,
yeah.
You know, I feel like with me, I've always wanted it. I've always wanted to leave a legacy of being one of the baddest.
Right.
You know, I don't got to be the baddest, but I'm going to be one of them.
Right.
You know?
What does it make you feel like when other artists come up to you and say, bruh, that was an unbelievable performance?
I'm still in shock. Like, I have a imposter syndrome. I wake up to this day and be like, am I, how did I get here?
Right.
Like, so when people even acknowledge it, I'm more receptive and appreciative. I'm kind of like, for real? Okay, cool. They like my stuff. I'm still fans of other artists. So right. It's like, so it's still me being like, okay, they really love what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm going to keep doing it.
Right.
All right.
When you first started out, you used to open up for Beyonce.
Yeah.
You like, you know, I'm going to try to swipe some of her fans. I want some of her fans because I know what she's going to do after me.
Man.
I need to make sure I do something before. Yeah. So them people talk about, yeah, Beyonce was great, but you should have saw Chris Brown. Chris Brown was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a student. Being on there, I was with Destiny's Child. I think I was like 16 or 17. I opened up for them in Australia. Mm-hmm. And for that, that was just a blessing because to be able to go from me having a little TV and me watching these people performing and being able to see them and they like, hi, they know my name. I'm right. Like, oh my God, they say hi to me. Watching them perform from stage presence, lighting, production, dancers, timing.
Right.
I learned so much from all of those experiences and I soaked it up and I said, well, I don't want to copy anybody.
Right.
But okay, well, if I could do that, I'll do it like this. So I was able to digest and learn from all those experiences. Right. So it was actually a blessing. It was a blessing.
I had Drewski on my show, and he said he went on tour with you.
Yeah.
He said, it's unbelievable the amount of distractions that's going on, like girls just running everywhere, but you're laser focused on what you need to do.
Yeah, because I look at it like these people spend their money to come see me, like even to this day. Like, you spending a ticket or whatever for your family. You coming through with your, it's kids there, it's grown people there, it's all ages. But the one thing I need them to do is leave happy. I need them to leave, not for my pockets, you know, they need to leave happy for my soul.
Right.
Like this ability that I'm able to have or this talent that I'm born with, I want to express it with love. The frequency I want to give out is love. So,
right.
Like, that's what gets me going. And when they get come in there, I'm excited. I'm more nervous than they is.
Right.
So, but I'm gonna make sure that they gonna go leave and be like, you know what, I got my money's worth.
Man, I read that this guy broke up with his girl. You called his girl up on stage, and gave the young lady a lap dance, and he broke up with her. Bro, how you do that?
Man, see, it wasn't intentional.
What do you think was gonna happen?
See, I didn't know she had a guy.
That's her fault, because she knows she had a guy.
She should have said it. She definitely should have said it.
Mm-hmm.
My dancers pull up a girl on stage during our set, and we usually like to give the fans an opportunity, but sometimes it's very, very, very attractive women come on stage. So I'm like, okay, cool. So me grinding on them, they don't really have a problem with it. It's just, I guess she had a man there.
Right.
So, but I didn't know. I didn't find out till afterwards. I was like, man. We should have just, do we send him flowers or send her flowers?
Nah, she should have thought this without, she should have said, nah. Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the lady, see, if I'm out with a young lady, it's not my job to check the guy. Yeah. It's her job.
She should have been like, no, you know what,
there you go.
And I can't come up, I'm with someone.
Right, and if a lady check on me.
We're not going to be like, forget him.
There you go.
We're going to be like, okay, great.
Right. You know, and you'd have been okay. But now you'd be like, come on. He don't want mine. But I'm surprised. First of all, I commend him for going.
Yeah.
I mean, because not a whole lot of guys are going with their girls.
Yeah.
Now, they might go, but
they go. Some they of them go. They might going be in the back. They might be a little bit further back. Like, nah, you ain't getting front row.
Right.
He not finna look at you at all.
Let's talk about, I'm looking at the Grammys.
Yeah.
And you have one.
Mm-hmm.
But reading you and researching this, you feel you should have more.
Yes. I feel like a lot of artists feel like they should have more. But I feel like I don't want to discredit the Grammys or diss them or feel like the angry artist when it comes to that. I feel like
you won't be the first, you won't be the last.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it's just, I feel like music at a state right now is not based on what people love.
Right.
I feel like, well, with the Grammys, no disrespect to y'all, but I just feel like it's a lot of old ears over there.
Right.
A lot of old ears. There's a lot of people that's not really tuned into what's going on. So and you know, it's a broad range of artists that I can think of now that deserve more Grammys and more recognition.
Right.
But you know, I feel like at this point in my career, in my life, I'm like, you know what, I have one, right? That's good enough. You know, for me, I feel like
he lonely though.
He could be lonely, but he could be lonely. I'd rather my what What I get my joy from is filling them stands up.
Right.
Like, I could care less about getting on the stage. Well, I would love to get on the stage at a Grammys or any awards. I don't have a problem with it. But it doesn't fill my heart more than it does to see twice as many people in an arena. Or I go over and I sell out six nights.
Right.
Like that's priceless to me.
Right.
So I feel like I've just started loving what I love the most about what I do. Just the music and the passion, and just focused on that.
You caught some flack because you wrote Robert Glasper. You who is this cat?
Yeah.
And I mean, he did the song with Michelle and Dago Cello, who's my favorite all-time artist, and her.
Yeah.
Great song. And you say, no disrespect, you took it back. Tell me what your mindset was. Okay, you're sitting at home.
Impulse.
So that's where, hold up, who the homeboy? Hey, give me that. Because you about to do something, give me that.
Yeah.
And put it in his back pocket.
Yeah, they probably was maybe 15 seconds too late by that time, I think. But at the time, because me, I was misinformed. So even when I had to do my research and be like, you know what, this guy's talented. He legit. And I reached out to him. I said, look, I don't want you to think that I have ill will towards you or anything. We should work.
he legit.
Yeah, so he reached back out to me. So yeah, we're gonna get in the studio and work. But that was me. That's being a sourpuss.
Right.
You know.
Are you disappointed that the award shows, given your background, given what you've done, given how you pack the arenas, given how the numbers speak more than Elvis and a billion this and that.
Yeah.
That they haven't allowed you to perform?
You're
a performer.
Yeah, at times.
You want to perform in front of your peers.
I want to showcase what I'm really capable of at all times. But I've taken my position to say, I'm not stopping.
Right.
You know, so it'll happen.
Right.
It'll happen. You know, it'll happen.
Do you remember the last award show you performed at?
I think my last award show might have been BET. My last award show might have been BET Awards. Yeah. Yeah.
Kelly Rowland supported you.
Yeah.
She got some criticism.
Yeah. I love you, Kelly.
Lizzo.
Yeah.
Say you're a favorite. Criticism.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran, some others have come to your, like, the man is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they call criticism. What is it with this cancel culture?
I don't think it's even a cancel culture. I think, because my fans and the people who do love me, like, they kind of overshadow it. Right. I'm still here, you know. Right. But I feel like people are sensitive as hell today, man. Like, we don't get to really shoot the shit, or we don't get to say what we really want to say. A lot of times, a lot of things is contrived and conform. You don't get to be yourself because you can't have an open expression, freedom to say anything.
Right.
You don't have to discredit anybody or cut anybody out or say anything rude about anybody, but I feel like everybody's too damn sensitive at this point.
Right.
Like,
but you've mentioned some of the people that's in this business that have had some transgressions that have been forgiven and gone on to, and it hasn't stopped you from making money, but those people were able to go back, be on stage, be in movies and do all these other things.
It's my smile. I think it's because people think I have a careless outlook on it.
Right.
And it's not that I have a careless outlook. I don't care to make you believe that I'm a great person.
Right.
Or a good person.
Right.
I'm just gonna be one.
Right.
So I feel like with that, you know, I mean, I don't take no nonsense, man. Right. I'm like, I'm a humble guy. I'll be cool, but I really don't take nonsense. I try to stay in my lane, get out the way, don't bother nobody, but I'm not going to take no nonsense.
If you were to get back, if they called and said, Chris, this year's Grammys, we want you to perform.
Yeah.
You there?
Of course. I'll do it.
No ill will?
It wouldn't be ill will because it would be about the performance. I would want to get that to my fans. It wouldn't be necessarily about the Grammys. It would be about me putting on the best performance.
The fans seeing Chris at an award show.
Yeah, and just going out there and doing my
thing. You'll kill it.
Yeah, man.
This might be the greatest. This might be the greatest stage performance anybody's ever seen.
Well, I'm gonna try to make it that every time. Anytime that opportunity gives itself that opportunity, even on my when you come to my shows, I want to make it like you're watching it on an award show.
Right.
It needs to be theater. It needs to be fun.
You know? Try to leave the, you try to, the fan, you want the fan to leave saying, I've never seen anybody do that before.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I want to do that every time. And just like I said, give them that joy and give them that, that it factor. I'm trying to be the greatest to do it while I still can do it.
When they say R&B is dead, Chris Brown says what?
It's not. Just hip hop is more prevalent. I would just say hip hop has been influential over the whole world. Mm-hmm. But I feel like R&B has its place, and there's a lot of R&B artists out, because I don't want to discredit it. It's a lot of great R&B, female wise and male wise. I just feel like we just have to have platforms. I feel like we need bigger platforms to show music videos. I think we need, not just for R&B, just right. for music, period. Like, we used to have 106 in Park. You know, we used to have outlets to where people would be engaged and have to see you at a certain right. time and have to be invested in your music and certain things like that. There's other avenues like that on the internet. But
Tyler Perry did by just by BET, so maybe he'll bring one a 106 in Park.
Yeah, let us start showcasing new artists, new talent, so people right. can, and so everybody doesn't have to go find an artist. Like,
right.
like, let these talented artists be broadcasted. Like, let them rock. I feel right. like it's needed. I feel like I go through, flip through my channels, unless I have to type in the name of the artist, it's cool, but I would like to be presented with artists like, right. oh man, that's tight. Who is that guy?
How do we get R&B? Will R&B ever be what it once was? Because I was talking to Timberland, I think it was Timberland, and he says, I don't think it to be at the height it once was.
It depends. Because everything shifts.
Okay.
There's always a shift in music. So it just depends on the right artist. It depends on the right timing, the season, what the world is, what the state of the world is,
right.
what people are going through. Like, you know, music, especially R&B, come from pain, a lot of pain.
Right.
There's a lot of pain going on in the world, but I think right there, everybody's trying to kind of like negate that or try to be like, you know what, hey, I just want to feel better.
Right.
Or I want to talk about substances and records and whatever crazy stuff it is. But I think it has, it's going to be time for it.
What's your thought on AI? You like it?
It's I'm 50-50 because the capabilities of the scientific community, I love it.
You know they can make me sound like Chris Brown.
That's crazy.
They won't need real Chris Brown.
See,
they can pay me a half of that.
I said this is what I said. If I heard when I hear the AI version of Chris Brown, and it's just a complete song and it's a great song.
Right.
I'm gonna figure out if we're gonna license our voices out.
Right.
Because I know I'm not gonna be the one to do it, but there's gonna be an artist that's I'm like, no, that's me.
Right.
And they're gonna benefit from it. But
right.
I'm 50-50. I feel like it takes away a lot of the mystery or the artistry that makes you a beautiful artist.
Right.
If you can just have
chat a computer GPT, to do
yeah,
it for have, you.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I feel like I'm still in this technological world too, so I'm fascinated right. with it as well. Right. You know,
I want to get you out of here on these two right here. You're a very good businessman. It's reported that you own 14 Burger Kings. How were you able to become so business savvy at such a young age?
My team. I've been able to have a great team. That, you know, I've been through my ups and downs. Like, I fell a lot financially in the beginning. Just, you know,
you gonna make mistakes.
Yeah, you know. But now it's about just trying to. I wanna create stuff that's gonna create stuff. And, you know,
right.
I wanna be able to have stuff that's gonna be here for everybody for right. longevity. So, and it doesn't necessarily have to be titled around my actual name or brand. I just wanna be able to have a legacy for my family outside
right.
of music.
Right.
You know, I wanna be wealthy instead of rich. You know.
Ah. Okay.
You know?
Your catalogs, that seems to be a big, you own your masters.
Yeah.
And you were one of the youngest to ever do that at the age of 29. Would you ever, I mean, you see a lot of artists selling their catalog. Is that something Chris Brown would look to do in the future?
I don't know. It depends. It depends on, I don't think I would sell them. I think I might do deals.
Might lease them out.
Lease them out and stuff like that later. But I don't think I would, because I feel like, As a black artist, that's what we've been wanting forever.
To be able to get that.
Get our masters.
Right.
So for me to be able to do that, like, and be one of the first young cats to do it, Like it's like, oh my, I beat the game. But I feel like I wouldn't do it at this point because that's something my children's children can eat off.
Right.
You know? So I think I'm
Tell me the story about Jacquees. Jacquees said he came to LA, he lived in the crib, you like, hey.
Yeah, so Jacquees, he been around me since he was teenager, braces, everything. I seen Jacquees' videos through mutual friends that we knew.
Okay.
And I knew that he was a fan of me.
Right.
So I'm not a if I see talent and I see the same spunk that I had in my eye,
right,
that I was like, you know what, this kid is really right, talented. So he came to LA for like a week. He was staying at a hotel. I was like, bro, why are you wasting your money at a hotel?
Wow.
The people we both know, they at my crib, we chilling.
Right.
You good, bro? It's no parents at the house gonna tell you what to do when you come to the house. But so I had to show him the ropes. Like he was around and he was able to learn from me in the studio as well. Like so I would be in the studio with him and just teach him stuff. He would ask, he'd be like, big bro, what's this? Oh, is this cool to do? Is this not cool to do? And I would just tell him, hey bro, don't do this. Don't do what they doing. That's fried.
Right.
You know, so a lot of the things with Jacquees is real family. So when I see him do his thing and where he's at now, I'm proud of him, man, because I saw the grind before right, everybody else saw it,
right,
you know?
I had Timberland on. I'm going to get you out of here on this one. He said he got some great advice from you. He said you called him and said, bro, don't do any more interviews, hi. You remember that conversation?
Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know, Tim is
family, y'all from the same area, Virginia area.
So I learned so much from him, but I remember, you know, I love weed, so we used to smoke a lot of time, and then I just remember seeing him. That's, hey man, don't do that no more, don't do that. Nah, we can't do it. Nah, it's not a good look.
You got a new single. The new single's out. Summer too hot.
Yeah.
Levitt Solar album is on the way.
Yeah.
What can your fans? What can we expect from Chris Brown on this album?
Less songs. Yes, only saying that, my fans know what I mean, because I'm used to putting, I think my last album had like 30-something songs.
What?
The one before that had like 56. Like, so it's a lot.
Can we get like 12, 13?
Yeah, it's okay. But the album's going to be called 11-11, okay, right? It's my 11th album, and it's only going to have 11 songs.
Right, okay.
But 11-11 is
going to be released in November?
Nah, we're trying to figure it out.
Okay.
Possibly. But we're trying to figure it out now, right? As of now, I'm still in the studio. We got a lot of good records that I've been cutting. And then the new song I just put that out basically to just have something for the summer.
Right.
Have people having feeling good, right, again. Cause I know it's about to start getting hot out here.
Right.
So let's just have fun. And I'm you know, the video's coming. We about to dance. I'm about to dance, yeah, man. About to dance again on them.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so
I know
much.
I think you're performing at Drea on the 29th, yeah, after the fight.
Yep. You going to be at the fight?
I'm going to be at the fight.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there, too. So, yeah, we got to link up, man. Thank you, brother.
Congratulations on all your success.
No, thank you.
Continue
for having
success.
Me, man.
God bless, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Chris Brown.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life. Grinding all my life, sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.